Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Show. I'm your hostess, Sandy Rogers, and thank you for being a part, and I'm so excited that you chose to join us today. And so let's get this party started. And you know, Mom and Em always said there are certain things that you got to do before you invite people into your house. So what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness, we first get ourselves anchored in an affirmative reading. And so I always use my daily inspirational blogs for that. And you can find them at revsandy.wordpress.com. This particular reading that I'm doing tonight is called How Do You Show Up? In the presence of others, do you take the high road of authenticity or gauge how you show up depending upon how the others appear? This is sometimes referred to as peer pressure, and you thought that only applied to children, especially teenagers. Well, it does not, and guess what? The same small children you are saying this to, they're watching you and how you show up in the company of others. Do not compromise your values for the sake of belonging. Isn't that what we tell our children? Be a leader, not a follower. And there we go, following the gang because everyone is doing it. As we get older, our gang is broader and is often influenced by what we see on television and what we hear in the music. The community at large becomes our gang, the people we hang out with. In this process, do you still honor your truth or are you following the crowds? The same crowd we warn our children about. Actions are always much louder than our words. Our children are watching how we show up. Are your actions consistent with their values? How do you show up? Is the environment the one who sets the tone of what is fashionable and the latest trend? Are your actions consistent with your words? Is honesty an admirable value, yet you lie to others often in the company of your children? What do you think they are learning? That is okay to lie some of the time because they hear you doing it? Well, if this is how you show up, please do not chastise the children for repeating what you are teaching. Do you holler, scream, and curse others when you are upset, but insist upon spanking the child that does the same as you? How do you show up for yourself? Do you compromise because you feel intimidated by titles or status? Regardless of the position in life, we are each the same, a child of God. Respect yourself and show up as the real you all the time. That, again, is from revsandy.wordpress.com. They are written and delivered daily on a daily basis so that you always have something positive to refer to. And the next thing that we do in preparation for our show tonight is that we invoke and we invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us. On Tuesday nights especially, but we should invoke their energies and to be with us all the time because they are with us all the time. That's what gives you your strength. That's what warns you about that car that's coming up that you didn't see in your mirror or through your windows of your car. It's that energy that stops you from making a real bad mistake. So, ancestors, we acknowledge you. We appreciate you. We love you. And so we respect you and we pay honor to you on the night. We treasure the gifts of our ancestors. We treasure their gifts that they so freely give to us when we call upon them. Ashe, ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. Tonight, we got a double header, a double hitter, whichever you want to call it. So we first have up our Books Over Bullying with Abdullah Hanif, and then Death by Medicine, Curtis Duncan. And so each of these brothers, man, they got a story. They got power behind what they do. And so we're going to be sharing and listening to both of them. So get your questions ready and be prepared to interact if that's what you so choose to do. So our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. And remember, no question is a stupid question. The only dumb question is that one that you don't ask. So please be mindful that we respect all comments. It doesn't have to be in agreement with what we're saying. So all comments are truly welcome here on Life, Love, and Wellness. So I am just ready to get this thing started, but we're going to start with some music first, and then we will be right back.
When
that's always on my mind by my nephew, Anthony A.K. King. Find his music at anthonyakking.com. Y'all support him, Brothers Bad. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We've got a doubleheader tonight. We've got Abdullah Hanif from Books Over Bullying. And next up, we'll have Death by Medicine, Curtis Duncan. And so these, like I said, these two brothers are powerful. They're doing drastic things in the community that's bringing about positive results. And so without further ado, I want to bring on Abdullah and have him to talk to us about his program, what caused him to organize and to run his program, which is called Books Over Bullying. Thank you, Abdullah, for being with us tonight.
Most definitely. You know what I'm saying? I greet the ancestors, you know what I'm saying? I greet the people with the universal greeting of Assalamu Alaikum. You know, and
Waalaikumsalam.
Justin Hunter. And it's a pleasure, you know what I'm saying, to be on these waves tonight, you know what I'm saying, to enlighten the people about the program, what's going on, that's in remembrance, you know what I'm saying, dedication to my father, you know what I'm saying, Books Over Bullying. Because, you know, growing up as Abdullah Hanif, you know, I was a bully. I was the one that was in the hood bullying the kids, you know what I'm saying, taking their lunches, taking their money, calling them names, you know what I'm saying, picking fights, doing whatever. But, you know, it's time progress. You know, I had to do a lot of transcending. You know what I'm saying? By me transcending, you know, I had my shares up and down, you know, going to penitentiary, you know, and still keeping focus on what I had to do inside. You know, that's where I learned to become a man at, you know, get my thoughts together, get my plans together, and take a look at my community and see what destruction I have caused to it. You know, by, you know what I'm saying, numerous phone calls, visits, and letters, you know, me and Pops communicating, me and other people communicating. They're telling me, you know, get it together, man. You got to do something, you know what I'm saying, constructive when you get out. You've done enough destruction while you was out here, you know. And then growing up, you know, I was blessed to be in the midst of a lot of, you know what I'm saying, great people. For as the legendary Shakur family, from Afina down to Satchi, even Tupac himself, you know, and I was just blessed to be a part of that type of movement, you know, and with the guidance and everything that was taught to me, even letters, you know what I'm saying, from Afeni and Satchi, you know, they always told me to keep my head up, you know what I'm saying, and come out to be a better man, to be a change, you know, so, you know, I always like reading, I always like science. So I was just formulating everything, you know. I got out, got to moving around. I ran into a brother of mine named Infinite Percent, you know. He hooked me up with this movement called Pops Movement. I got affiliated with them. I ran into a sister named Ladia Sanders, you know. Me and her, we got together. We formed together an organization called Stars Clout. And through Stars Clout, we had a program in there called Books Over Bullying, you know what I'm saying? It was always commemorated and dedicated to my father. So, you know, And then I choose to go ahead and just branch out on my own dealing with the Books Over Bullying, you know what I'm saying? Because it was time for the Books Over Bullying to get inside of the black communities, you know what I'm saying? Because the young kids, they are pulling further and further away from reading, you know, and just like the elders always made that a description, not a fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that even in the Quran, you know what I'm saying? Ikra, read, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people have to understand what the importance of reading is and what the importance of Books Over Bullying is. It's not what you read, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's when you read and how you read and how you comprehend what's going on, you know, and just like being a bully, like I said in my earlier years, you know, I never did think about trying to read, you know, I like reading, but, you know, I was trying to basically be that bully, you know what I'm saying? I was getting at people, doing the wrong things, you know, but alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed my direction, you know what I'm saying? Then, like, on my father's deathbed, you know what I'm saying, he was like, Abdullah, you got to do something now. you know, and he was like, don't let me die, you know. His fear of dying wasn't dying. His fear of me, you know what I'm saying, staying out of prison, not being a bully, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And taking his program to his next level, you know what I'm saying? And see, that's like hard to, like, you know what I'm saying, fester when you're a man, you're looking at your father leaving this world, and he said, I don't care about dying. I just don't want to see you, know what I'm saying, or hear or whatever, know what I'm saying, people in the family let you back in the penitentiary for this and that. You see, like, let your ways go, you know what I'm saying? So that's why it's a must, that program must go on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a push with that. But
right.
You know, it was a very, very, very powerful movement, man. That's why I try to get the parents and the kids to always take a challenge, man. Read to them kids and let the kids read to you. See where they mind at, you know. You can make their day because, you know, they got big, vivid imaginations about what they want to be in life. You know, you got to start taking that time out to ask some kids every day what they want to be, you know what I'm saying, and make sure that they stay focused and maintain to their goal. Once them kids, you know, get into the habit of reading, they might start out reading a little sentence, you know what I'm saying, then a paragraph, you know what I'm saying, then a couple of chapters. You never know what it's going to lead to. But we have to challenge them and challenge ourselves as people, because sometimes they look at it as mom and dad don't never read to us. I wonder, can they read? You see what I'm saying? So you have to really, like,
right,
be, you know what I'm saying, vital of what you're doing, you know. And like I tell them, you know, if you just take 10 minutes out of the day to read something to a kid, you know, and then go back and break down, y'all call them sight words now, but, you know, go back and break down the vocabulary of the words and let the kids know what they're using in their everyday language, and they can also filter and muster from there, because, you know, bullying is not a problem, you know, it's a behavior. And then a lot of people may not grasp the interpretation of what I'm saying about it being a behavior. It's just like the way that we act towards something, you know what I'm saying, a behavior. We bully somebody and they become a person who's being bullied, not the victim. Because once they hear the word victim, then they feel like they caused this. You see what I'm saying? So
right,
we have to learn our word of choice by using the word a person who's being bullied, not a victim. You know, not calling the person a bully, saying that people who bully, you know. Because once you give them that title of a bully, it enhances and to get them the ego of being, you know what I'm saying, or a macho. So we try to, you know what I'm saying, eradicate that from the beginning. You know, Books Over Bullying, man, the well put together program, you know, it's in the communities. Some libraries have it. You know, a couple of states got it, Mississippi and Illinois got it. A couple of brothers and sisters I deal with.
Oh, okay.
You know, as far as like you giving a child to express yourself, present itself, you know, that's what Books Over Bullying is all about. Giving them the chance to let you know. What's going on? Because if I read this book, you know, I may interpret it one way, they may interpret it another way. So we give them the chance to interpret, you know what I'm saying, how they feel and what would they do in a situation, you know what I'm saying? It's just like they can reenact the situation about things that they have went through, maybe through that day or through the week or through some months that they didn't want to talk to nobody about, but now they got the outlet to talk. So, you know, basically how a lot of things go, you know. And like I said, though, you know, I was blessed to come up, like I said, with a legendary Shakur family, you know. And it's just like when I tried to teach Afeni how to swim, you know what I'm saying, she was like, you're going to be special in life, you know what I'm saying. She always told me that I was going to be the one that tore the torch, you know. And I just feel like me, myself, giving back to a community that I once destroyed, you know what I'm saying? It feel wonderful. Seeing the kids and the people really be like, you know, I always know you had it in you, but, you know what I'm saying, you were doing some negative things, but, you know, like I said, all praise due to Allah for manifesting and changing my way of life. You know, like I said, if I can help
that's
any
beautiful.
Kid, any parent, any kid or any parent, you know what I'm saying, can join the movement, you know what I'm saying, Books Over Bullying, you know, and they can just interact with me anytime they get ready, you know. That's how it's going down. But, you know, I love the kids, and I love the things for the kids inside of the community. You know, and just, like I said, once again, it's a pleasure and an honor, you know what I'm saying, to be on your show. And, you know.
Well, you know, and you've had some really powerful role models as well. The names that you're giving us, the Shakur family, and I know there was a couple other names, Infinite, and I didn't get the last name on that. But, you know, just people that have encouraged you, that have encouraged you along your way and helped you to see the goodness in who you are. And so you're now giving that back to the children and then helping people to establish these programs across the nation. It's really awesome to see that, you know, you got the life experiences from being in prison and having served as a bully yourself to turn that around, you know. So that was a part of your path. So there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but because you learned from it and you used it. And I know one thing for sure, we've had several guests on the show that have talked about bullying in the past. And the one thing is that a child that bullies is going to grow up to be an adult who bullies. And that comes down to being domestic violence and a lot of other, like you say, behaviors that a person exhibit when they get to be a grown person. So I appreciate the work that you're doing and for honoring that legacy to your dad, you know, when you promised him that, you know, you would turn things around and make sure that you're giving back to the community and not continuously destroying it.
Yeah, more definitely, you know what I'm saying? It's already enough destruction and chaos that goes on inside the community, you know, and like I tell them, you know what I'm saying, it's just like making that transition from within them walls coming out, you know what I'm saying, like I try to tell brothers and there, nah, you know what I'm saying, I stay in constant communication with, so you have to change within, you know what I'm saying, because what you're doing, you're redeeming yourself, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and let the past go, get out, and make things, you know what I'm saying, better, move forward, you know, and just like another, you know what I'm saying, brother and sister I like, you know what I'm saying, give shouts out to, you know what I'm saying, sister Tiana and a brother, you know what I'm saying, LaKendrick, you know what I'm saying, they part of the movement too, you know, they talk to me daily, weekly, and we, you know what I'm saying, have a conversation about how we going to make things better, you know, and she have an organization out in Detroit, you know what I'm saying, called Change for Change, you know what I'm saying, very knowledgeable, wise sister, man, you know, and she helping the young sisters and the young brothers get their things together, you know what I'm saying, because of what it's all about. Each one teach one till we reach one, you know, and we all try to come together up under one umbrella, you know, I teach them, you know what I'm saying, the Swahili, Harambe, let's pull together, you know what I'm saying, because it's the I that make up we. You'll never understand until you indulge in what's going on. So the people have to understand what's going on inside the struggle, you know what I'm saying? The struggle is not about you. The struggle is not about me. It's about us as a whole. And once we understand communities, is nothing but common unity. We all have to come together collectively and work some type of way. Understand what our need in life is, our purpose in life, you know what I'm saying? When we pull together and we work together collectively. That's what we're, you know what I'm saying, missing in a lot of communities and a lot of hoods are working together. Because bullying, it can eradicate it, you know?
Right. Well, Abdullah, we have a caller, 734-512. Watch your background noise. caller 734-512. You want to give us your name and your comment or concern, please?
My name is Tiana, and I just want to thank Brother Abdullah for most definitely being a positive role model, considering where he came from and where he's going to now. I just want to give, like, big props to him because he do a lot of different things, just not look over bullying. He helped up here with Michigan with Change for Change. He helped with telling the people about different grants, different ways of doing things. He when you talk to him, it's like he give you a different insight on what you already thought you had an insight on. So I just wanted to chime in just to let him know that he do have some people who have his back, and I most definitely is here for him because he always has been there for everybody else. And that's about it.
Well, thank you, Tiana. That's really nice.
You're welcome.
Abdullah, you want to comment on what Tiana said?
Yes, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? Peace and love, sister. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate everything, you know. And
peace
like
and
I
love.
Say, you know, whatever Abdullah can do, Abdullah is going to do it. You know, and I love the support and love to know that you got my bike at all measures, you know what I'm saying? And like I say, we gotta come together collectively, man. You know what I'm saying? Harambe, we got to pull together.
So
and
Tiana
like
was saying that you
too.
Do other things. Tiana was saying you do other things than books over bullying. Can you tell us some of the other things that you do?
Well, you know, I organize in the community, you know. I organize in the community,
okay.
And I push the movement on the AVLN, you know, I'm CVLN, you know what I'm saying, Conservative Vice Law. You know, we rotate on righteousness, get out in the communities, you know what I'm saying, even with the homeless, even with the kids, you know what I'm saying. I do toy giveaways, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I can do, you know what I'm saying, to build a conscious community and keep the people at bay with each other and try to keep them, you know what I'm saying, to come together collectively, you know what I'm saying? We can come together to agree to disagree at times, but we just got to come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main part. You know what I'm saying? It's just like,
right.
You know,
right.
Just peace, or, you know what I'm saying, love and service at whatever measure it got to be, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, I give a big shout-out to my brother, you know what I'm saying, the Kendrick Griffin, you know what I'm saying, for taking the message, you know what I'm saying, to the four corners of the universe. You know, that's what big brother do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we out here on these front lines doing what we got to do. And like I say, if any of y'all sisters, you know what I'm saying, want to get in contact with a positive sister, make sure you get in contact with your sister Tiana, man. You know what I'm saying? Hands down, she one of the best. And like I say, she don't just talk the talk, you know what I'm saying? She walk the walk, you know what I'm saying? She walk the walk with
excellent,
everything that she
excellent.
Did. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the most positive sisters that I know, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of things, too, you know. It's only a handful of people that I deal with, you know, because I have seen a lot of people that's been, you know what I'm saying, calling but they wasn't chosen, you know what I'm saying? So they try to walk, and it didn't work for them, you know what I'm saying? You got
to
do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying? And ain't no other gift, better gift than giving back, you know what I'm saying, to your community, to your people. You know, that's why I always,
that's
you know,
true.
Express the importance of re-educating the people, you know what I'm saying? Teaching them how to organize,
right.
You know what I'm saying, and mobilize, get their stuff together. Because, you know what I'm saying, when they speak of the people, that we are the people, you know what I'm saying? We are not a minority,
right.
We are a majority, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got to come together and realize who we are as a people and get all the hating
exactly.
out the way. You know what I'm saying? Another thing I speak to the kids, too, about, you know what I'm saying, inside the community, you know what I'm saying? We speak about Black Lives Matter. I tell them the Black Lives Matter stop killing each other. The Black Lives Matter
exactly.
stop disrespecting that girl or that woman. The Black Lives Matter
yes. Yes.
Learn to teach that woman, child, or young man the rights to passage, man. That's what we need inside the community,
mm-hmm.
the rights of passage to these kids, you know what I'm saying? And stop letting
right.
people teach them the wrong thing and thinking that it's cool. Because
right.
you can go to school all year long, you know what I'm saying? But they only educate to incarcerate. Parents, please pay attention
mm-hmm.
to the pipeline.
Exactly.
They only educate to incarcerate. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can get a group start today. If you need books to start your Books Over Bullying program, just give me a call, email me, you know what I'm saying? Or hit me on Facebook, and I'll get the books to you to start, get the videos to you to start, you know? And like I say, I got
a
video.
And we're
going to
share your contact info. We're going to share your contact information shortly, Abdullah. So, Tiana, did you want to provide your contact information? You got an email address you can give us or something?
Yes, it's TianaVL313@gmail.com. That's T-E-O-N-A, V as in Victor, L as in Larry, 313@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much. We've got another caller on the line. Uh-huh. You can stay on. Caller 404-707. Give us your name and your comment or concern, please.
Hi, Sandy. This is Tammy from Rural Women in Action. How you doing?
Hey, Tammy. How you doing?
I am great. I am so glad that Abdul is on the phone. He is really doing some really good things. One thing I do know, I want to let him know that when you're working in rural areas where children don't have access to a lot of things, Books Over Bullying has provided an outlet for kids to actually really, really learn. And I like how he has strategized what he's doing. So anytime you're helping a child and you add in reading and then you're talking about bullying, the whole concept of the name Books Over Bullying speaks volumes. And people are going to be recognizing that. And I like that. And I support him 100%. Yes. I know he's doing great work. And I applaud him for that.
Well, we appreciate your comments, Tammy, as always, down in rural Georgia. And thank you for the work that you're doing as well. Now, you guys have a big event coming up, Tammy. You're going to be involved with Books Over Bullying. And, Abdullah, you want to tell us about that event that's coming up shortly?
Yeah, the event coming up. Yes, ma'am. It'll be July the 22nd. You know what I'm saying? I got to get things. Well, I got things together, you know, but I'm about to get with Tammy and the brother Nate, because I believe that I might push the date back, because the sister Tiana, I think she want to get involved with some things too. And I got some help if it's coming up. I'm about to go see this doctor down by my heart on the 19th, so I'll be getting back with her and letting her know what's going on. But definitely, you know,
Tammy's
going to get together and reach out and do some things, you know what I'm saying? Tammy, she's a great sister, great motivator, you know what I'm saying? I love brother from the first time I met her, you know what I'm saying, because she's a great woman and she do great things, you know what I'm saying, and she's just awesome, you know.
Yeah, she be working it down there, I tell you. I know her. She be working it. Okay, so I did want to spotlight that event. So you guys just double check on Books Over Bullying on Facebook to get an update on what's coming up with that program. The date may likely change, but we're going to, and Abdul, I want you to stay on because you need to hear this next brother that's going to be bringing us information about prescription medicines and those kind of issues, so that we can get educated about that too, because our health is extremely important. We don't have our health, we have absolutely nothing. So, but thank you, ladies, Tiana and Tammy, for coming on the line. If anybody else would like to share or have anything to say, we've got about 10 more minutes left with Abdullah and the Books Over Bullying. If you have any questions or anything, now would be the time for you to chime in. Just push 1 on your dial to let us know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. And so Abdullah have been telling us about the reasons why he's doing books over bullying. He wants to eradicate bullying. He wants to strengthen the neighborhood. He wants the children to read and to understand that they have more choices in life. Abdullah, you want to expound on that a little bit more about the children and their limited view on what's possible for them as far as a career goes?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, see, because it's just like where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? A lot of kids, the reason why they turn to drugs, gangs, and violence, because, you know, it's really nothing really for them to do, you know what I'm saying? They decide you're inside of a city or a town where you got a lot of, you know what I'm saying, racism and nonsense, you know? It's just like, I know that, you know, if I didn't try to step in and make a change, you know what I'm saying, that it was going to repeat the cycle of what me and a lot of my homies did, you know what I'm saying? And that's went to the penitentiary. So, you know, try to make things better for them, you know what I'm saying? Let them see that better ways for better days, you know? Because once that child get in tune with reading and seeing something different, they're going to want to do something different. Let them know that mm-hmm. it's bigger than what you're, you know what I'm saying? Just like I got a brother that I deal with out in Jersey, you know what I'm saying? He was up under me. He's one of my students, you know what I'm saying? And every day he talked to me and tell him, man, I'm glad that you showed me something different, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's an honor for that, too. Like I said, if I can help change these kids' lives, man, that's what I'm all about. You know, like I say,
excellent.
It takes us coming together, you know what I'm saying, collectively to make things happen. I try to teach them to use their mind instead of, you know what I'm saying, trying to fight
right.
each other this way. You know what I'm saying? I put together games and let them challenge each other mentally. You know what I'm saying? I say, nah, whoever wins this, it's the strongest one. But the strongest one, you go back and you help him. Show him what you did and win this game. You know, it's not about,
mm-hmm.
oh, you won. No. You go back and you show them how you won and how they all can be winners at the same time. You know, it's just like no child left behind. There's no child left behind in my village. You know?
Excellent.
You have to, it's like you have to be on the front with them.
Right, right. Well, you take that stance where they're a part of a whole and not separate. And I think that our children really need to understand that concept, because a lot of them think that, you know, they're out there by themselves, or, you know, they have to follow the crowds. They don't know that they have support, you know, from people, and that it's a collective effort. So I appreciate you teaching that to the children.
Yeah, more depth, you know what I'm saying? I try to teach them the seven principles, you know what I'm saying, the Kwanzaa, you know. Teaching that,
excellent.
You know what I'm saying? Teaching the most important thing, you know what I'm saying, is the near, the purpose, giving their purpose in life. What are you here for?
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got some solid principles that you're using. I'm impressed with the work that you're doing. And the ideas and the concepts that you're passing on to the children. And like you say, educate to incarcerate. It's big business, and we don't understand that the prison system is big business. Our community is targeted, and they know the zip codes that they're going to target to arrest the children so that they have a record, you know, and then so that the three strikes and they got to go to prison once they get out of school, all of that. You guys, you must pay attention to what Abdullah is talking about, books over bullying. We need our children to be smarter than what they are and how they're behaving, because this is so important. This is so important to keep our young people out of the prison system.
More definitely, you know what I'm saying? And just like what you're saying, you use the word smart, you know what I'm saying? But I never relate to the word smart to a homo sapien, you know what I'm saying, to a being. I use the word intelligence, you know what I'm saying, because that's the word that they want to use smart to control them as an animal. See, and then just like I try to tell them, when you go back and you do the studying over the IQ test, you know what I'm saying, that's part of racism, you know.
Yes.
You gotta eradicate that too, because once, you know what I'm saying, deal with a person, you know what I'm saying, intellectual, you know what I'm saying, questions, you gotta understand that you are giving that person that charge. You either Ike this way or Ike that way. You know, because when you're dealing with a system that's designed for you to fail at all times, you gotta be mindful of the games that they play. Like you said, they pick the addresses. You know, that's why in like Georgia got the most prisons in the world. You know, it's 152 counties, right?
Right.
And you got 39, you got out of 159 counties in Georgia, you got at least 39 prisons. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
And where you see the prisons at?
I had no idea.
Yeah. You're going to see the prisons inside, basically, you know what I'm saying, rural area, like your sister Tammy was saying, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The rural areas is where they try to attack, because they know what the demographics and the population there is. They know that these people here, you know what I'm saying, that really got less schooling or poor schooling. So that's what they try to, you know what I'm saying, build a pipeline of prison off of, because it's just like, you got to remember, too, that the 13th Amendment, you know what I'm saying, slavery was never abolished. You got to understand that. And see, they just try to do, you know what I'm saying, modernize. And you got to look at the system once you go inside and you look at this judge in this courtroom. It's awkward, but he got a black robe on, but you always see a white face, you know what I'm saying? Like I tell the kids, pay attention.
Yes, indeed.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like,
right,
they don't
get
you in the wash, they're going to try to get you in the rent. So you got to be mindful of what's going on, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say I commend sisters like, you know what I'm saying, Sister Tammy and Sister Tiana, you know what I'm saying, for making moves. One thing about them two sisters there, you know, ain't no ifs, and but about it. I know they fighters, you know what I'm saying? And they're all about making a change. For a change, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, that's the type of energy that I like to be around, you know what I'm saying? The sisters, they are taking their toll and stepping up on the forefront and these on front lines making things happen, man. You know what I'm saying? Hope these brothers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Follow suit and do the things that need to be did. To get out here, you know what I'm saying? Help these kids inside these communities, man. But, you know, like I said, it was just a blessing, all in all, I'm saying, for you to have me on this talk show. And I appreciate the callers for calling in, you know what I'm saying? Nothing but peace and love to them.
All right. So, Abdul, I want to make a statement, and then I want you to give the audience your contact information, and then we're going to take a quick break. So there's a documentary by Ava DuVernay that's called 13th, and it talks about from slavery to criminal with the passing of one bill amendment, and that's the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. And that documentary provides excellent historical background into how this prison system works in the United States. And I would urge everybody that's listening, everybody out in the universe, to take a look at that documentary. So you want to give us your contact information?
Yeah. It's Abdullah Hanif, ABDULLAHHANEEF, Abdullah Hanif. Facebook, Abdullah Hanif. Email, Chief Abdullah 50@yahoo.com.
And the group page is Books Over Bullying on Facebook.
Yeah, the group page, Books Over Bullying.
And I want
to...
I want to thank you for being with us tonight, and I appreciate your passion and compassion for the children and the work that you're doing. And we'll stay in contact with one another. And however I can support you in your effort, feel free to reach out to me. And we're going to make a quick change. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, it's going to be Death by Medicine's Curtis Duncan. sharing with us what he's doing in the world. I tell you, I got some strong, powerful brothers with me tonight. Thank you, Abdullah.
Yes, ma'am.
That was an oldie but goodies, the Shy Lights. For God's sake, give more power to the people. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And tonight we've got two extremely, extremely powerful brothers that's doing that groundwork, doing the warrior work in our communities. So next up is a long-term friend of mine that I had not spoken to in quite a while until here recently, but I know him to be one of the most passionate people in the holistic health arena, and he has been researching and doing the work and studying and learning and using the best in the business as his mentors. And so I would like to welcome to the show Curtis Duncan, who's going to give us a rundown of his program called MetaSyn, S-I-N. Curtis, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome, my friend. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for having me on air with
you. Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So you want to give us some background and about the program that's coming up and what, you know, your purpose behind doing this? And because I know, you know, it's a short period of time that we have, but I just want you to share with the audience the whole reasoning and the whole how this thing started for you.
Mm-hmm. So my background is in, I've spent about close to about 10 years doing holistic health research, starting about the age of 23. I used to sell Dr. Sabi's herbal products, and I actually met with him in Honduras several years ago and had an opportunity to meet and study under him. So I've done a tremendous amount of independent holistic health research and have been disseminating that information for close to about a decade now. And I connected with Dr. Scott Whitaker, who is the author of the book Medicine, in 2010 at the restaurant Lovin' It Live here in Atlanta. And me and him stayed in contact ever since. And several years ago, he reached out to me and suggested the idea of having a holistic health conference, particularly one that would deal with cancer here in Atlanta. And I thought that was an excellent idea because I am here in Atlanta and I could definitely be involved in the organization and facilitation of that event. So this conference was an idea that I've had for the past several years, but I got distracted by working on other projects, particularly bringing forward the information about how vaccines are essentially destroying our youth. The MMR vaccine, according to the information put forward by the Center for Disease Creation, or what they call control, Dr. William Thompson suggested that the MMR vaccine was causing a 240% increase of autism. So for the past close to about 2 years now, I've been doing a lot of activism pertaining to that. So the impetus was for this event was something that me and Dr. Scott Whitaker, who wrote the book Medicine, and that's why one of the reasons why we're calling the event Death by Medicine. It's been something that we've wanted to plan now for the past several years. And what we're hoping to accomplish with this conference is to educate people on, number one, how a disease is not natural, it's not genetic, and you're not supposed to just get old and get diabetes and get high blood pressure, et cetera. It comes from, most disease is a result of a poor diet, exposure to environmental toxins, stressors, and also, the biggest cause of a disease in this country, or one of the biggest causes, is actual pharmaceutical medications, vaccines, and chemotherapy itself. So, for example, that aspirin, which is a widely used drug, actually causes liver failure. It also kills close to about 20,000 people every year. So you'll never hear of anybody who dies from a headache, but 20,000 die every year just from taking aspirin as prescribed. Acetaminophen is another drug that causes liver failure. So all these different medications are actually causing disease. They're not preventing the disease. They're creating more of the problems that people are already experiencing due to their diets. So that's the first thing. We want to educate people on how disease is not natural. Now, for the most part, breast cancer is not genetic. Autism is not genetic. There are very few genetic diseases out there. But what is genetic is a poor diet and a very toxic life. Well, not to say the lifestyle is not genetic, but oftentimes, we learn different habits from our loved ones, and we take on and we get certain addictions from being around our loved ones, family, and friends. So that's the first thing. Second thing, we seek to empower people to understand about the ongoing war on your health. The allopathic medical industry, the medical monopoly, kills close to about 1 million people annually. So our system of healthcare, which is really a system of death care, kills close to about 1 million people annually, just from the prescription drugs, the chemotherapy, the surgeries, the hospital errors. So it's the number one cause of death in this country. The number one cause of death is not guns, it's not ISIS, it's not bird flu, swine flu. It is the actual medical industry itself. And the reason why it is so dangerous is because it is based upon drugging, cutting, and burning. And when you have a system of healthcare that is based upon drugging, cutting, and burning people to supposedly treat their illnesses, that is a recipe for disaster. Now, that's the first thing, is that there is, you know, this system of healthcare that we're dealing with is very deadly and very harmful. In the pharmaceutical industry, they have invented an onslaught of genetically modified foods, environmental chemicals, and vaccines, mm-hmm. which are destroying people's health and creating the very problems which this pharmaceutical company seeks to profit from. So the vaccines contain a lot of different neurotoxins, such as mercury, aluminum, MSG, and this feeds right into the pharmaceutical industry's pushing of psychiatric drugs to treat the very conditions created by the vaccines in the first place. So there's a war on your health that's going on, and it's a quiet war, but if you read the news and you see how Bayer Pharmaceuticals purchased Monsanto for $58 billion, that's a $58 billion mm-hmm. investment, and that investment is being made to produce more customers because the genetically modified foods, which are all unlabeled and are found in 70% of the food that we consume, cause 53 different types of diseases. So they are buying wow. this company because they want to produce the type of food that can make more money on the back end for Bayer Pharmaceuticals via chemotherapy, aspirin, other medications which they sell. So this investment that they made, they are seeking to produce, lots, billions of new customers. That's why they invested $57 million into buying Monsanto. The final thing we want to accomplish is to teach people how you can reverse disease. And you can reverse this by using natural remedies that have been used for thousands of years. People oftentimes mm-hmm. ask, all right, if I don't need to get a vaccine, what should I do? Well, in the book of Revelations, it says the herbs shall be for the healing of nations. So you could take garlic, you could take echinacea, you could take elderberry, you could take dandelion, and some of these different herbs are actually available right in your backyard. They're available in your local forest that you can obtain for free without getting a prescription, without paying hundreds of dollars for. You can obtain completely for free. So we're going to teach people how they can reverse disease, oftentimes within about 2 weeks. Cancer can be cured naturally. Diabetes can be cured in about 2 weeks just by avoiding wheat and sugar, for example. High blood pressure can be cured, but there's going to be no cures coming from the medical industry because their whole business model right. is to create customers, not cures.
Right, right. So I want to touch on a couple of things that you said, and I want you to keep going because this is so exciting to me and you have such a strong passion about the work mm-hmm. that you're doing. So you said disease is not natural, and but the doctors are they treat you as if you need to have something wrong with you. I know for me, I'm 67, and I got mm-hmm. Medicare, and so that requires you to go for these yearly visits. And my doctor mm-hmm. is just angry with me because I'm not on any medication. She can't find any reason to put me on any medication. But she says, well, you're so unusual, because all of my other patients your age, they're on four or five different medications. And so mm-hmm. I asked her, I said, so wouldn't you want to know what I'm doing to stay off of medications, and you want the rest of your patients to not have to be on medication? And so she just kind of grunted at me, you know, but I was serious when I said that, you know, like why would you want people to be dependent upon drugs? But they come from that attitude. Now, if I would have been a little meek and weak person when I went in there and, you know, just made the slightest little groan about anything, she probably would have prescribed me something to take, because the last time I was in there, she gave me all of these orders to take all of these tests, and I'm refusing to take them, you know, because I did not receive informed consent. So she just wrote these mm-hmm. things up for me to do, and so she's got to tell me something different. Anyway, that's another, but you guys need to look up that terminology, informed consent. You do not have to take tests if your doctor do not tell you what your options are. And then the other thing that you said that I wanted to address was you were saying that lifestyle is not genetic.
And but we do, you know, within our families, if getting angry and cursing people out or always being high strung or just picking arguments or any of that stuff, that is learned. So that's my belief, is that the genetic inheritance in our family does relate to lifestyle, because we mimic and we repeat those things that we've learned. So I just wanted to make those two comments right quick.
Yeah. So, you know, in regards to the first comment you made about, you know, your doctor being upset, I mean, that's quite common. Again, I mean, doctors, they're licensed drug dealers. And, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, that's not an insult. That's just what they are. They have a license to deal drugs.
Oh, yeah.
So if they're not dealing drugs to you, then they really have nothing, you know, they can't make money off of you. They have, like, essentially you're no good to them. If you're healthy.
Right.
So, you know, doctors, as the entire medical industry, is in the business of disease. So health is really the enemy of the medical industry. And that's why they destroy our health with all these different drugs, vaccines, genetically modified foods, etc., because their business model is to treat and manage disease. It is not to provide health. Health is, like I said, is their enemy. So if you're healthy, or if you're taking natural remedies, which cannot be patented, because one of the key things people have to remember is that when we're talking about drugs, these are things that have been patented. They're essentially patented poisons. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they are. So you cannot patent echinacea. You cannot patent garlic, even though these things are more effective than a lot of prescription antibiotics. You can't patent them, so you can't make a profit off of them. So if you go to your doctor and you tell them, hey, doc, you know, I got a cold, a really bad cold, and I took some olive leaf. Well, he's going to say, well, you know, that's not FDA approved. That's not, there's no science behind that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a thousand years of science behind it. It's just that, again, the pharmaceutical companies can't patent and control and make billions of dollars off of something like, you know, which is found in nature and is provided to us by the creator. So that's the first thing, is that, yeah, I mean, you know, doctors, like I said, they don't want nothing to do with you. If you, I mean, I've had people, friends of mine, tell me that, you know, they go to their doctor and they do all, the doctor does all the tests and, you know, and, you know, and they're like, and the patient's like, you know, they're happy. They're like, yeah, I'm healthy. And doctor's like, man, get out of my office. Because, I mean, he can't do anything with you. Like, get out of my office. come back to me sick of it, you know. So, I mean, that tells you right there, like, okay, well, you know, they want you to be sick. They're not happy when you're healthy. So, I mean, that's the first thing. And as far as lifestyle, yes, I do agree that in terms of you know, our behaviors, absolutely, those, you know, a lot of our behaviors, our wayward behaviors, are definitely learned, and there is some link, for example, between a lot of our behaviors and what's known as epigenetics. So if you experience trauma, which, you know, particularly, you know, in the Black community, this has been nonstop, 600 years of trauma. Yes, I mean, that affects the way our genes express themselves. So it's been shown, for example, to provide a more recent example, that the people who experienced the Holocaust, their offspring or their developing fetuses have higher rates of anxiety, and oftentimes have higher rates of obesity because of their diets, or because something that they consciously did, but because of the trauma that was experienced while they're developing in the womb, and its effect upon the way the genes express themselves. It's a process known as epigenetics. So absolutely, there's definitely a link between a lot of our behaviors, you know, our anxiety, depression, et cetera, and a lot of the trauma that we've experienced, particularly here in North America, with the structural racism, slavery, Jim Crow, et cetera. There's definitely a link with that, and that's something that, you know, really needs to you know, be researched more, because it definitely is affecting the Black community, you know, to a very, very large degree. And that information has not really been brought forward and brought to light enough.
So
So why the you used the word. I just want to make sure everybody understands the term allopathic.
Yes. So the term allopathic, essentially, just to make it, you know, it's a type of medical care that is derived from Germany, and it, you know, just to make it simple for people, it's drug cut and burn medicine. Now, it's a really type of medicine that should only be used when a person has experienced some type of trauma. So, okay, you know, you're driving down the road and you get into a car accident. Absolutely, go to the hospital. You know, have you been in a car accident? You could have internal bleeding. Maybe you're a victim of a gunshot wound. Absolutely, go to the hospital. You know, I mean, it's appropriate to use a type of medicine. I mean, you need to have surgery if you suffered a gunshot wound. You know, you probably will need a type of painkiller if you suffered a gunshot wound because the pain, you know, could be really excruciating. So you will need some of those, you know, some of those really, you know, some of those prescription opioids to treat that pain. But if you have high blood pressure, if you're obese, you have type 2 diabetes, drugging and cutting your body is not going to address the root cause of the issue. So if you're dealing with type 2 diabetes, for example, if you don't cut out sugar, you don't cut out fructose, smoothies, and fruit juice, then you're never going to recover from your type 2 diabetes if you do not get rid of the excessive carbohydrates. So, you know, taking insulin to treat insulin resistance is not going to address the insulin resistance. It's actually going to make the problem even worse because you're going to become even more insulin resistant because you're pumping your body of more insulin when the body's already resistant to it. So it makes a lot more sense to just, okay, let's address the insulin resistance there rather than just putting a Band-Aid on the problem of having insulin resistance by taking pills which either lower your glucose or pumping yourself full of insulin, which is actually going to make the problem even worse. Same thing with cancer. It makes a lot more sense rather than burning a person with radiation. You know, I thought radiation was supposed to be bad. That's why we have nuclear weapons. You know, these things are supposed to be bad, but yet we constantly burn people with this radiation or poison them with chemotherapy. That makes absolutely zero sense. It makes a lot more sense to, okay, let's address the root causes of the cancer, again, sugar, because sugar feeds cancer, the number one cause of pancreatic cancer, which blacks have a disproportionate higher rate of, is sugar. So if you want to stop the cancer and the spread of cancer, then, you know, essentially eliminate all the refined sugar and have natural remedies that don't completely destroy the immune system and destroy the body. You know, so have cat's claw, have CPD oils, medical marijuana, have some of these natural remedies that have been used for thousands of years and are extremely effective at shrinking the tumors without destroying other healthy cells, like chemotherapy and radiation does. Chemotherapy and radiation is the equivalent of destroying everything, because I mean it completely destroys healthy cells, destroys cancerous cells, it destroys everything, and that's the actual true cause of death from cancer. It's not the actual disease; it's the chemotherapy, and I've experienced that. I have a relative who had leukemia for almost 6 years. And he was completely fine with the leukemia. But once he got on immunotherapy, he was dead within a week. And I've seen that with my own eyes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was
That's
dead
horrible.
Within a week.
That's horrible. Yeah. Hey, Curtis, you said about cutting out smoothies. You want to explain that? Or are you talking about the natural green smoothies where you're putting in your own, you're making your own, you know, from fresh organic fruits and vegetables, or are you talking about something that you would buy at the store?
So I'm talking about both. So the commercial smoothies that you buy at the store or places like Smoothie King, those smoothies actually oftentimes have as much sugar as 5 Krispy Kreme donuts. Essentially, you know, when you think about it, you know, smoothies are a processed food. You know, I mean, if I were to give to you, Reverend Sandy, 5 apples, 2 bananas, and like 1 mango, you'd be like, man, that's a whole lot of fruit. But if I blend it up into a smoothie, you could consume it then. But in sugar content, you are getting close to about almost 200 grams of sugar at one time. That's a whole lot of sugar. And not only that, it's actually been smooth. It's actually been broken down within the blender. So your body actually is absorbing all that sugar, you know, at one time, and it just overloads. It overloads the liver and the body with way too much fructose. So that's the one problem with smoothies is that essentially you're consuming a tremendous amount of fruit at one time, which you would not naturally consume because, again, a smoothie is essentially a processed food. So when you're getting that much fruit, you're getting an extremely high amount of fructose. And fructose is what's found in sodas via high fructose corn syrup. But, again, I mean, when you're consuming a 20-ounce bottle of soda in a 20-ounce container of a smoothie, it's really no difference, you know, as far as sugar content. I mean, you might as well almost, and as far as unhealthiness, it's the exact same amount of fructose that you're consuming at one time, and it destroys the liver, it causes type 2 diabetes, and also causes high triglycerides and uric acid, which leads to high blood pressure. So what I tell people is that when it comes to smoothies, really the only type of healthy smoothie to consume will be like a high-fat smoothie where you're adding avocado, coconut milk, and maybe a few berries. But if you're blending high amounts of fruit into these different smoothies, then you're really doing yourself a disservice because, like I said, I mean, it's almost like consuming 5 Krispy Kreme donuts in sugar content. And what I recommend is that people consume whole fruits. So consume low sugar fruits like berries, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, things that have low amounts of sugar in them. Because if you're going to the store and buying Adawala or Suja or Naked, you read the package. You know, you read the amount of sugar that's in that. It'll say 59 grams. You look on the bottle of Pepsi, and you'll see 30 grams. So I mean, it's essentially, I mean, you're getting almost three times the amount of sugar that's in a can of soda, and it goes straight to your bloodstream, goes straight to your liver. So that's why I recommend ditching fruit juice, smoothies, because they have way too much fructose. And ideally, we're not supposed to be eating that much fruit. We're supposed to be eating maybe like 1 or 2 servings of fruit and low sugar fruits at that. So you know, fruit is not supposed to be a big, tremendous amount of our diets. We actually be consuming more vegetables. And in regards to the green smoothies, oftentimes people mix the fruits and vegetables, but you really, oftentimes, when you're blending in a raw vegetable, you oftentimes are consuming large amounts of oxalic acid, which is found within, veggies when they're raw. That's why ideally you should cook your veggies. You should actually cook your spinach and cook your greens, not for 8 hours with, some ham hock, something like that. But you should cook them lightly, and because it actually makes them better to absorb, particularly when you cook them with fat. You actually absorb a lot of nutrients, particularly vitamin K, vitamin A, and some of the other vitamins that are found within the particular vegetable. So that's why oftentimes, people, they'll eat broccoli and butter. That's actually a healthy combination because a lot of nutrients that are found within broccoli are better absorbed when in the presence of fat. When you're blending a green smoothie, that's actually very bad because, veggies should actually be cooked before they're consumed. And you're blending it, and again, you're breaking it down, and it's releasing large amounts of oxalic acid. So green smoothies can actually be, I know people like to think they're healthy, but it's not actually that healthy for your health, particularly if you're consuming things like spinach and kale in those green smoothies. Those two foods ideally should be cooked before you actually consume them.
Okay. So let's get back to why do you do the work that you do? What motivated you to get started in the holistic health arena?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So when I was younger, I actually wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to help people. So, and that's something that I feel like has been in me now for, at a very early age. I just felt like, because growing up, you learn that doctors help people. And there are many doctors that do help people. They save lives, and that's not to be discounted. But they also take a lot of lives, and that's not to be discounted as well, too. And particularly, what's going on with the medical industry today, doctors are really actually taking more lives than they're saving. And that is the biggest problem because, like I said, we're using this type of care, which should only be used when you have traumatic incidences. You know, so when you have cancer, when you have diabetes, when you have high blood pressure, heart disease, you should not be going to a doctor because the cardiologist, the oncologist, they're not going to do anything for you other than give you a drug, perform open heart surgery. They're not going to address the underlying root causes of the problem. So I feel like I got involved in this naturopathic holistic medicine because I did want to help people. I knew, you know, I had relatives of mine, for example, who got mammograms and were just paranoid after after it came back positive, and then they did the biopsy and it came out, hey, you really don't have breast cancer. I saw what was going on with the medical industry, mammograms being a cancer screening tool, which actually causes breast cancer because, again, it has radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to help people. That's why I have done a lot of the work that I've been doing for the past couple of years now, because I felt like a lot of people, they were not getting the truth when it comes to health and healing. And I really wanted to help people just, live well, live long, and be able to recover from their diseases without dying as a result of, the medications or the treatments that they're getting. So I would say, I've always wanted to help people in that way. And that's why I've done a lot of the work that I've been doing now. And like I said, a lot of volunteer work, because a lot of the work I've done in the past couple of years has been volunteer work. My organizing different rallies, speaking at different events, I haven't gotten paid a dime, but I still wanted to do it because I wanted to empower people, particularly our community, because there's always a huge disconnect between, what's out there and what's being practiced in our community. And like I said, there's just a huge, we're always the last ones to know. We're always, so a lot of us, we're the last one to know that, hey, you can take, we might smoke weed, but we don't think, that weed can be used for medicine. We don't think that, we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always this lack of knowledge. And, as it says in scripture, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So, and I took that to heart, like, okay, yeah, that's truth right there. So I wanted to at least be one of the vessels of many, to hopefully spread that knowledge to as many people as I could, with the goal of helping them to be healthier and live well. To be healthy and live well.
Well, a lot of times we are so conditioned by the television and media in all of its forms to believe, like you were saying earlier, about Bayer buying out Monsanto and that whole, like with the vaccines, telling the parents or mandating that the parents have to vaccinate their children. And, the whole movement is telling people that you gotta, it's mandatory and you gotta do this if you wanna live, you gotta have the surgery if you wanna live. And so we have been very thoroughly conditioned to believe the nonsense, and we have not educated ourselves or each other enough to get that information out that you can heal by natural ways. I know when we go and we do the different energy sessions at these different health events, that people do not know about, your own energy and how your own energy can heal your body and things like that. So it's incumbent upon us to keep spreading that knowledge. And so I'm really thankful that you and your team of presenters are doing this conference, this seminar, this gathering of souls to educate about the dangers of medicine. My mom, for instance, feisty, she's 90 years old, but 3 years ago she had a stroke, and they have been experimenting with her ever since with all of these drugs. And she has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. She's gotten to the point where now she can't walk, And it's for me, and I'm not going to say anybody else, but for me, it's because they're trying all of these different prescriptions with her. And what I know for sure is that there's no test on the interaction when a person takes more than one drug. So if you're only taking two drugs, nobody knows what those two drugs do on the inside of you because there's no test done. So how in the world can somebody, a doctor in their right mind, prescribe like four prescriptions for a person and they don't know what it's doing to them? So that drives me crazy right there.
Yeah, and that's quite common. But like I said, I mean, you know, the doctors, they're not, you know, they're taught. I mean, they're taught, again, just like we're taught. You know, I mean, the purpose of school, I know you all mentioned the school to prison pipeline, but the purpose of school was to produce, you know, just from the very, very beginning, was to produce obedient workers or wage slaves and soldiers. That's what our system of schooling, you know, has always been based upon that. So the doctors, they go to med school and they get indoctrinated and brainwashed into a certain, you know, way of life. And that way of life is medicine, what we commonly call medicine with the S. So, you know, they don't think to, you know, they don't think that, oh, maybe these drugs could be harmful and maybe taking one of them could be harmful. Yes, I mean, you're taking three and four different medications at one time, they're going to interact with each other, and the danger of harm is always there. You know, it's not like, you know, if you combine four different herbs, you combine turmeric, black pepper, garlic, and echinacea. It's not like there's going to be some interaction there. I mean, because these are natural substances. But when you combine four different synthetic drugs, oh, you know, you're playing Russian roulette.
Exactly. And let me say this real quick, because we only have about 6 minutes left. So for anyone that's out there that want to ask Curtis a question, make sure that you either call in to us at 516-531-9819 and push 1, or if you're already on, you've already called in, just push 1 and give us your comment or your question. I know you're being thoroughly educated with what Curtis is sharing with you about the system, and you probably just want to keep listening to what he has to say. But I just want to make sure I put that in case you did have a question. I don't want you to go too much longer. And see, we got a question right here. That's Abdullah. Hey, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, I was gonna ask him, you know what I'm saying, as far as like with you know, dealing with the earth, know what I'm saying, dealing with science, know what I'm saying. You know, I know that the body is naturally designed to heal itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like you were talking about the herbs and different, know what I'm saying, things that we could put in our bodies. The only thing that the body really is needing, what we're taking out. And like you're saying, like with these different, know what I'm saying, pills, so that we take, if you take it more than one pill at a time, know what I'm saying, that's just like playing Russian roulette, because your body really ain't designed for that, you know what I'm saying, because it might heal one thing, but it's going to always destroy another. So like you're saying, okay, know what I'm saying, your herbalistic, know what I'm saying, lifestyle is really what's best. But you know us as people, know what I'm saying, people of color, you know what I'm saying, like you say, the doctors go to school to be indoctrinated about medicine. That's the same thing that they do to us, know what I'm saying? And people that's in, like, probably scripting America, know what I'm saying, that they say, well, we know they can't afford this and afford that. We just going to shoot them this, shoot them that. But I was saying, like, I know with your seminar coming up, that not telling you what to do, but it would be, know what I'm saying, wise if, you know what I'm saying, your team get together and try to, know what I'm saying, bring that back inside the communities, you know what I'm saying, and stop teaching them, the people that they feel like, well, they got to go to the doctor, but they feel like, well, they got to pay all this money for this and that. Just come and get the information from what y'all got going on and see, to realize that this industry, you know what I'm saying, this medical drug industry is designed for two things: to get rich and kill you.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right, brother. Yeah, you know, I always tell people, you know, people, a headache is not an aspirin deficiency. It's not aspirin deficiency. Usually a headache is a water deficiency. you're not drinking enough water. So it's not
even
an
migraines.
Exactly. Right. It's not an aspirin deficiency. You know, cancer is not a chemo deficiency. So, but the medications, as he mentioned, you know, they oftentimes, they might mask one symptom, but they're gonna cause some more symptoms. In the process of masking something, because the symptom is actually designed to get you to make you aware of what's going on. So if you have high blood pressure, that's designed to make you aware, okay, something's afoot, something's going on. So if you just mask that or try to mask that, then again, you're not getting to the root cause. And that's the biggest problem with our medical industry. They don't get to root causes. They don't get to root causes, and they are the cause of a lot of the issues.
And they know exactly how to, I mean, it's almost like they're trained how to get you all emotionally involved, you know, and so that you just kind of, you freak out, you know, when you get the diagnosis, like, oh, my God, I got what? You know,
yeah.
You have a pill for that? When are you going to cut them? You know, and we go through, because we just completely buy into it. But if we could just step back from it for a minute and just think about it, you know, like Abdullah was just saying, you know, like our bodies are designed to heal themselves. And if we come from that state of mind, then we're going to seek people like you, Curtis, you know, and be like, all right, can you help me out and tell me what I need to do to correct my body tempo, you know? And it's going to come back to diet. What are you eating?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree. doctors, you know, doctors are salespeople. People need to realize that. Chemotherapy, the reason why they have all these BS cancer screenings, it's not to prevent cancer. It's to find the cancer, because the medical industry or the cancer industry, which is $100 billion a year industry, wants to find cancer, which they can then treat with chemo and radiation. So, you know, it has nothing to do with, oh, we want to find, you know, we want to prevent it. I mean, because a lot of these cancers that people are actually being diagnosed with are actually misdiagnoses. Close to about almost 30% are missing, you know, or where a person is told they have cancer and they really don't. Or, you know, they might have a cancer, but it's a slow-growing cancer, like prostate cancer, or even maybe breast cancer. It's not something that really needs to be treated, you know, like right now with very aggressive chemotherapy treatments. But, hey, you know, when you deal with the white coat and chemotherapy costs $100,000 a month and oncologists get a 25% commission off that, hey, they get 100 cancer patients a month. That's $250,000.
Yeah.
I'm saying 12.
Right.
They have an incentive to tell you that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would love to keep talking with you, but we're running out of time. So we're going to have to bring you back on the show just to do a general conversation with you. But give us, because we've got like 1 minute left, and thank you for being on the show. But can you give us information about the event that's coming up on Saturday? And I'm going to let you close it out. Like I said, we only have about a minute left, so you're on.
Okay. So the event will be held at Ralph David Abernathy. I'm sorry, it'll be held at the Shrine of the Black Madonna from 12 to 7 p.m. at 960 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. You can get your tickets at medicines.net. That's www.medicines, M-E-D-I-S-I-N-S. That's M-E-D-I-S-I-N-S. .net. You get more tickets there, and it'll be held this Saturday again from 12 to 7 p.m. at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, 960 Ralph David Abernathy, medicines.net, medisins.net.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your soul and your spirit with us. And it's been such an incredible night. And I know you guys have been blessed with Abdullah and with Curtis and all the information these two brothers have had to share with us. So we are off. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.